My next two guests have a pretty extraordinary bond. Sarah Tracton is a visual artist who underwent a couple of surgeries back in 2013 to implant bionic ears, which in turn has inspired her art and a new exhibition that's called Hearing It with Silence. Tim Brochet is a cochlear implant PhD researcher at the Bionics Institute in Melbourne, who, as an avid engineer and musician, is passionate about making the sense of hearing available to anyone. Sarah's been his research subject to make better cochlear implants, and the both of them join me now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Miff.
Great to see you. Sarah, we'll start with you. Let's talk about your work and about what you make and how your experience shapes it.
Okay, so about a year ago, I found out that I was going to be doing a solo exhibition at St Hilliers Street Gallery at Abbotsford Convent in Melbourne, Victoria. And that's, you know, the goal of any artist is to get a first solo exhibition. And I graduated from the National Art School about 3 years ago. And that was during the period I had my first implant. And I started to, I work a lot across quite a few mediums, which was filmmaking about 10 years ago. And then I majored in ceramics, and I had this idea to create ceramic porcelain lighting, and there's a huge amount of technique and troubleshooting involved in working in that medium, and drawing is something I've done since I was young. And I guess because I'm obviously profoundly deaf, I've always used art as a means of, as a form of catharsis. It's always been the catalyst for my creativity, so.
And it comes out in your art in beautiful ways. We'll get to the exhibition later, but you said you were profoundly deaf. You had some hearing and then it was gone by the age of three, as far as
no,
I can
tell.
No, I
was born with a moderate hearing loss. Yeah. So it's probably about 30 to 40% hearing loss. When I was three, it was picked up. And then in my 20s, I lost the rest of it completely. So I had always had an experience of hearing loss throughout my whole life, but going profoundly deaf and having zero hearing was just a massive life overhaul. I had to readjust my entire way of living. And so in 2013, I got that first surgery. But before that, it's quite challenging to be without the implants with that level of hearing loss.
I can imagine. And you did make a film, you mentioned 10 years ago, that was also about that experience too, which we'll get to. But what was it like when you first had the implants put in?
That's a great question. People don't realise the implant isn't something that just works 30 seconds later and it's all good to go. There's a massive amount of rehabilitation that you do, working in conjunction with your surgeon and team of rehabilitators. The first time that you put the implant on, it sounds like the TARDIS from Doctor Who.
it's very robotic because
that's a part. I mean, Tim can explain further the mechanics of it. The brain has never been stimulated in that way. It's not stimulated in that way when you wear hearing aids. So there's basically like an infant learning how to walk again. And then I had my second surgery, so I knew what to expect, and I had that last year. And it's been the results have been absolutely extraordinary. I couldn't do this probably without sitting on someone's lap to hear them, which is awkward. I just used lip reading and a lot of body cues to kind of gauge what's going on.
Your lip reading was extraordinary, though. You could lip read accents of something like 68 nationalities.
That was when I was working at SBS and trying to...
That's amazing.
There's only a certain amount of that we can get from lip reading, maybe 30%. The rest of it's just body language and inference, and you kind of put together clues. And now it's just extraordinary because I can hear people in the dark. I can do things I have never, ever been able to do before, which is hearing someone in a car behind me, having a conversation, just the access to people that I couldn't have before. It still wows me every day.
Incredible. Well, let's go on to you, Tim Boucher, who, as we mentioned earlier, you're a PhD researcher at the Bionics Institute in Melbourne. What's your relationship with Sarah? You Sarah, was your research subject in order to make the implants better?
Yeah, so working on cochlear implants, really the only way to know how they sound is to ask somebody with a cochlear implant.
Also, can I just say, do you work in radio? Or you should, given the sound of your voice right
now. He has a beautiful voice, doesn't he?
He does. Keep going.
Oh, thank you. That's very flattering. So doing this research, the only way to know how a cochlear implant sounds is to have a cochlear implant. And so it's an integral part of the Institute is to have participants coming in and sharing with us how these new techniques that we're using sound. And we'll do very precise little experiments where you'll listen to a series of beeps. And then we'll do experiments where we're just playing sentences and having them repeat them back, or just having conversations about how does this one sound and how does this one sound. And so it's a nice back and forth between us and our research participants.
So you have to spend quite a lot of time together in order to get balance right. But some of the work that you've done has enabled people to be able to access their implants a lot faster. Is that correct?
Sometimes faster is the goal. There's a huge variance in the outcomes for people who get a cochlear implant. So Sarah, for example, had a great outcome. She's able to understand speech very well, even in noisy conditions. Sometimes she can even identify songs during a party. We were at a house party.
So we can get to that as well. Yeah.
That's great.
Remember, you could just like tell that My Pony was playing at the house party right away.
So I walked in there and there was a DJ full party set.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So that's not always easy with an implant. So the idea with the research we're doing is to try and improve outcomes for everybody who gets an implant.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And you two working together, obviously, it's a very intimate thing. You have to communicate very closely and spend a lot of time together. What sort of time have you spent together working on this?
Well, we've spent, I guess, hours and hours in a soundproof booth together.
And then we became friends, and that was without the soundproof booth.
Yeah.
I went to start to go to visit Tim at his musical gigs, and we became mates. And I've actually done I've been a research participant 4 times for different projects at Bionics. So
clearly you get along on the sort of the musical and the artistic level as well. That's brilliant.
Yeah,
mutual creative comrade.
Sarah, let's get back to your work, though. With this exhibition, what have you tried to do through mostly the medium of ceramics? What have you tried to do to talk about this story through your art?
Well, I work across two mediums, so that's ceramics and drawing, and it's been a particularly logistical challenge because I wanted to create lighting and nothing was going to stand in my way to create this lighting because I was working with a very high-grade porcelain that my technique is very labour-intensive. It takes up to a month to make each piece. The way that it could be interpreted that the lighting is, creating a positive space. The cochlear implant gave me hearing, so we have lighting and it's illuminating. It's given me more energy. It's given me just access to new parts of the world. And the drawing, I guess, is they're black and white pen drawings, so they're sort of more fragmented, broken body parts, kind of. So the light is shining on the drawings. And the Abbotsford Convent has been absolutely amazing because I said, hey, I want to put in, 18 lights onto your tracks and stands. They said, no problem. So that's been is something that I had a vision for it and they helped be the conduit for that.
How important is it for you to be able to express yourself through the art that you make?
I don't really feel like I have any choice over it. It's
really?
Just something that I suppose I first, I have always done art because I guess when it was more challenging and I had, barely any hearing to go by, I was isolated. And so that was something that didn't involve too much, any interaction. It's something that I had, I go into a state of hypnotic immersion. There's no other way to describe it. And it's pure flow. And that's what every artist aspires to achieve is a state of flow. And it's a state of complete presence. And it's just completely blissful.
So this is a totally different experience for you as a creative person now that you have your implants.
It's so ironic because I worked in the film industry for a few years, and when I was working in the film industry, that was when I had my first implant. I also in the first, when I made my film was something that involved communication with the crew, and now I'm working on my own and I can actually have that communication. So it's sort of funny that it's sort of flipped the other way around. Yeah, it's flipped.
Yeah. Have you seen the exhibition? Have you seen the works that are involved in the exhibition?
Yeah, I was just there on Friday.
Yeah. How does that make you feel to see the what is essentially the culmination of a couple of years of both of your work together and the communication between the two, and then to see Sarah making this extraordinary art about it.
Yeah, and to see Sarah at the exhibition speaking to everyone about her art. Yeah, it was beautiful. And I was also lucky enough to see the process of her creating the art. So I went over to her art studio. So we've been in each other's laboratories.
Lab.
Yeah, we each have our own mad science laboratories. And I got to see the way that she makes these beautiful iridescent lamps with they just glow. But this was the first time that I got to see lights in them. So I had seen them all without the lights in them. And so that was beautiful. And then the line work she does on the drawings that's lit up by the lamps. She mentioned that state of flow before, and Sarah has access to something that you and I really have never experienced, which is total silence.
Yes.
A complete lack of sound. And so when she switches off, she can get into that state, and you can really see the like visualization of that silence and get those feelings of maybe some isolation and maybe some these scattered body parts popping out of the out of these textures. It's really beautiful.
I'm interested, Sarah, how often do you turn off? Is it only when you're being creative, or do you turn it off just because that's something you're used to so quite regularly?
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, I was just saying to Tim that if I had the choice to have my implant permanently, I wouldn't take it because I really need that option.
Yeah.
Because I actually love both realities now. Before I was, it was so uncomfortable for me having hearing aids because, you know, having something like 5% of sound is like being underwater. It's like being in a foreign country and not understanding anything. And the energy levels are so suppressed when you have a hearing loss because of the amount of energy that it takes. So I have it off quite a bit, actually. So I only realized recently that that there's a huge amount of construction around my place. I think it's been going on for several months. So there's massive advantages.
Absolutely.
Yeah, huge advantages. And and you're in a long-haul flight and there's a baby next to you, it's...
Switch it off.
Couldn't be any more advantageous.
It's such a brilliant story, you two. I'm so impressed with all that you have achieved. Now, the exhibition, if you are in Melbourne, but fingers crossed it might get to tour around the place, is happening at St Helier's Street Gallery at the Abbotsford Convent in Melbourne from, it's already on until July 24th. It's called Hearing It for Silence. The artist is... the artist is Sarah Tracton, and Tim Brochet is the gentleman who's been helping her not only implant the bionic ears but research how to make it better. Oh, I just love these stories. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.